Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
I can name that dysfunction in 2 notes.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 8, Episode 20, Cupid Zero. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello.
Hello.
You ready to celebrate Valentine's Day in April?
Sure.
All
first,
right.
Let's do
Stud Mania out of control.
First, our usual announcement, which is a reminder that you can purchase ads on this podcast. Go to previously.tv. Go to previously.tv/ads for more information. It's $50 for a personal message, $100 for a commercial message. You can supply your own copy. You can give us an outline and let us write something for you. We can do it all. We're happy to do it. Also, due to Hawaii to mainland travel, we will not have an episode next week. So mark your calendars. We will be back the following week, which will be May, so prepared, 14th. So
thanks so much for wasting our time.
Listen, thank you for your patience.
David!
This is a million kinds of hassle, so yeah, I'm sure you understand. Moving on to the episode. Starting with...
There it is. It sure does.
Starting with our B plot, no one has fun on Valentine's Day. So at the clinic, an older patient in brocade is haranguing Dr. Jeff about dating her daughter. Like, why would this Beverly Hills ass looking new money hag be treated at the clinic at all is my question.
And her daughter's name is Sarah.
Yes.
Sarah's going to be crushed. No, it's fine.
We must assume that she has an STI that she wouldn't want her primary care provider to know about, and that's why she's gone to this grubby free clinic.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Get it, Rose.
He mildly bitches about people trying to set singles up around Valentine's Day, and Kelly invites him to David's housewarming party instead. And he mentions Brandon, not seeming like he cares much if Brandon is there, but Kelly says that Brandon hasn't been calling lately, so she thinks that he has moved on. And to his question, Kelly says she's fine with it and is looking forward to spending Valentine's Day with Dr. J. Okay, then we're at the beat, where, as I mentioned in the last episode, the new issues have come in, and the cover story is The Rise and Rise of David Silver, which, first of all, is a terrible headline, but until last week, was still employed as the paper's music critic. What the fuck? Why isn't Janet telling them about journalistic ethics?
That he was a car wash guy,
yeah,
because he burned down the club he wasn't paying rent on in a timely fashion.
Uh-huh.
In pursuit of which goal, he robbed his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, first of all, don't crib crappy Rolling Stoneoid headlines for your shitty bottom of the birdcage rag. And second of all, if you're going to do that, how about The Rise and Fall and Rise of David Silver, which is more accurate?
Right. Or, you know, The Rise and Fall and Fall and Fall and Fall and Fall and Fall and kind of Rise of David Silver, so that it's clear. No, he's still like running at a deficit anyway.
Big time.
Enough about David. Of course, the only thing more basic than caring way too much about Valentine's Day is getting all worked up about how fake Valentine's Day is. Clip two.
Valentine do's and don'ts.
What section would I find renting a movie and moping in?
You don't have a date?
Hey, it's not like some crime's been committed here.
Oh, so I take it you're alone too, huh?
For your information, Valentine's Day is completely artificial. Chocolates, pink hearts, gah.
What about that Cupid thing? Bows, arrows, diapers.
Diapers?
I don't get it.
If you need a day to tell someone how you're feeling, you're obviously not feeling very much.
That's right.
Ah, so this is a protest thing.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And if either of you two were in a relationship?
You'd be saying the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Used to be so easy. In college, if you'd break up with a girl, you'd throw a frat party. The talent pool, it was so deep, you didn't have to labor. Now I actually have to talk to a woman.
The horror.
The talent pool. Gross.
Also, throw a frat party. How'd that work out for you? Wrongful death suit McGraw.
Also accused of rape McGee.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Also hair plugs McGillicuddy, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Barely.
Also, this wasn't at the frat, but he also threw another party where his brother almost died of alcohol poisoning. So, like, maybe not so much with the halcyon memories of how great it was to throw parties when you were in college, dude.
Yeah. You also had the option of going to Paris or Montana with two of the women who could actually tolerate you for more than 10 minutes. So shut the fuck up.
Word. For some reason, this gross speech causes Janet to say that she has a friend she could hook them up with, but just the one friend. So even more gross. Steve and Brandon do rock, paper, scissors on it, or as Brandon weirdly puts it, scissors, rock, paper. No. And Brandon wins. At the housewarming party, Brandon runs into Kelly at a snack table and is pissy to her and to Dr. Jeff when he wanders over. And when Brandon has flounced off again, Dr. Jeff asks Kelly about their date the next night. Kelly is still into it, even if it includes a hotel room. She is looking forward to it. And then Kelly and Brandon end up in another corner together, pleasantly comparing notes on their Valentine's Day plans. Brandon notices that it's after midnight and wishes her a happy Valentine's Day with a kiss on her cheek, and she baby voices same to you and makes us all barf. And then Dr. Jeff comes over to kiss her for real, which is also barfy because Kelly is all acting like she's not into him and Brandon is being all wounded.
And Kelly actually opens one eye and peers over to look at Brandon during the kiss with Dr. Jeff. You'll see it in the visual aids. It took me 10 minutes to freeze frame it just right. Mm-hmm. So I could see her being like, is he watching me? Is he? And also from that angle, her hair looks real bad.
Oh, God.
This was not a solid choice, this hairstyle.
No.
Anyway.
So Brandon then brings Kelly a little gift bag of random stuff of hers that was still at the house. He notices flowers on her desk, and she says they're from a patient. And Brandon tries to shade Dr. Jeff by asking/stating that he doesn't buy her flowers. And she flirtatiously tells him not to start, and he stops before taking a daisy out of the arrangement and starts pulling petals off. And he says, it was nice to see her the night before. She agrees. He's about to leave, but then turns back to say he keeps feeling like he's getting to the light at the end of the tunnel, but then he never does. He's like, blah, blah, blah. What if she loves me? And holds up the daisy with one petal left on it and leaves. My notes. This is unbearable.
It really, and it's completely, completely out of character. Like this whole, not only is he once again in like boo-boo kitty stalker mode, but it's like, this particular boo-boo kitty stalker mode is not in character for Brandon.
No. And then that night, Brandon calls and leaves Kelly a dumb message. Clip 3.
Hey, it's me. I just thought, you know, you're going out tonight. I'm going out tonight. It's too bad. Never mind.
I mean, why are you yelling?
You know
hey,
why.
It's me. Oh God. I just love that in our rundown little syllabus, frequently these braying moments are rendered in all caps, and it was rendered in all caps in my notes as well. So at least
of course.
We have that, whatever that is.
Meanwhile, Steve is at the Peach Pit bitching out Nat for setting him up with someone when Donna already set him up with a model who just broke up with her boyfriend, and she's waiting for him at the club, and another Beb walks in looking for Brandon. And this is Janet's friend Stephanie, and is also, by the way, Ian Ziering's IRL wife at the time, Nikki. She asks to hang out with him while she waits for Brandon, and Steve winces, but stays, and it's dumb. Wandering around outside their hotel, Kelly is recapping Dr. Jeff's first few episodes of the show, plus the old bat who tried to set him up at the start of this one. And he says he never calls any of the various Mrs. Hazleton's daughters because so much of who he is what he does. And it's hard to share that with someone who's not there. Unlike Kelly, who is there, sticking her nose in everything.
Not everything, as Dr. Jeff is about to find out. Sorry, Dr. Jeff's ball sack.
So he thinks he can share everything with her. Not everything, as Sarah also indicated. After a kiss, he says one of the things he would like to share is that he has been offered a job in San Francisco, but he will not move if Kelly wants him to stay. Oh, God. And the message thing isn't over. Clip 4.
Thing is, you've met someone and moved on. And that sucks. So he's a doctor. It's one of the only things he has going for him.
These are all different calls.
Well, that and the fact that he has you. I hope you're having a good time. I just wish you were having it with me. But I know I've made too much of a mess for that to happen.
Okay, it's not until we come back to it and I get a good look at the tie, this vintage tie, that I realize this is a long homage to Swingers, a movie that by this point was over a year old.
Yeah.
Took me a little while. The other thing that is the difference is that, spoiler, this doesn't end with Kelly picking up and ordering him never to call her again. Swingers is good, you guys. Anyway... Donna's model friend can't shut up about her breakup, so Steve leaps up from the table when he sees Stephanie, aka Nikki Ziering, come into the club and goes to talk to her instead. She wants to dance and doesn't really care that Brandon didn't show up, and pretty soon neither does Steve. But before long, he's surrounded by Stephanie and the model and Jenny, the broad Nat set him up with, who all soon take off when they see David across the floor. But then he's set upon by a fourth girl who kisses him to blow off her date, and then before Steve can get her name, is gone. And then there's one more goddamn message, which ends like the sequence in Swingers with Brandon saying he thinks they should both just walk away. Minus, as we said, the part where the girl tells him to fuck off and the part where it's funny. And Kelly misses it all because she's in her hotel room fooling around with Dr. Jeff. And in the course of it, she knocks a vase off the table. And of course, it was full of daisies, and she's reminded of Brandon's whole stupid she loves me not routine from before. And she tries to resume fooling around, but then says she can't because Brandon. And Dr. Jeff says that if Brandon cheated on her once, he'll do it again. And Kelly doesn't argue that, but says she's in love with someone else. How? Steve and Brandon are in Steve's car comparing Valentine's Day notes when Steve gets pulled over. And in a crazy coincidence, the cop is the mystery woman who kissed him, and they're both happy to see each other again. And then Kelly shows up the next morning to baby voice that she did listen to all of Brandon's terrible messages and that it wasn't that bad until the one where he said he thought they should go their separate ways. Cause did he mean it? And he says he did. And she's like, okay. And then Brandon figures it out and asks if he has a choice and yada, yada, yada. They're back together. Barf. But them together is somehow less terrible than them apart. We now know.
I mean, if this is how he's going to be about them being apart, just get back together with him and spare us all a lot of agony.
Yeah. So I guess thank you. We do have an A plot, but first we have a message from Hannah. Hannah recently moved away from St. Louis and misses her annual bowling party with her friend Anne. So Hannah wants to show Anne how much she misses her by making sure Anne raises the most money in the Gateway Women's Access Fund Bowl-a-thon fundraiser.
Abortion access in Missouri is prohibitively expensive for a lot of people who need safe and reliable reproductive health care. Anyone who needs an abortion must travel to one of the three clinics in Missouri that provide the service, meet with a doctor, wait 72 hours, and meet with the same doctor again. Often this is all just to be prescribed a pill. Just for a pill, a person has to miss work, pay for travel expenses, and pay out of pocket, since insurance is not permitted to cover abortion services, all to make a choice about their own goddamn bodies and health.
The Gateway Women's Access Fund provides the financial assistance that many people need to afford an abortion. Plus, they come up with really awesome team names support Anne and the rest of her team, the Ruth Bader Ginsburgs, by donating. We'll also have this link in the show notes, but the URL is bull.nnaf.org/fundraiser/1335180. Again, we'll have that link in the show notes, so please go there and support Anne. And thank you, Hannah, and good luck, Ruth Bader Ginsburgs. Get it. On to the A-plot, David indirectly fucks up Donna's back, but as usual, worse happens to Val. So David and Val are canoodling in bed when he stops because his song is on the radio, and Val pretends not to be hurt that he's getting famous, LOL, off a song he wrote about Donna, but obviously she is. And on Noah's dumb boat, Donna and Noah are also fooling around when Donna hears it. Clip 5.
Oh my God, it's a song.
Yeah, so you said.
No, no, wait, listen, it's on the radio.
Not anymore.
Noah 2020. I'm so, like, I love that they're still occasionally giving him these lines where he's like, nah, to all of you.
Mm-hmm. It is good. Donna makes him turn it back on and then scolds him for not being happy for David. And Noah points out that David has his life somewhat together for the first time since Noah has known him. So he hopes David can keep it up. Great point, by the way. it's really true.
Sick burn, Flotsam.
Yeah. So he stomps out and Donna calls David to congratulate him. But when Val picks up, Donna hangs up and then Val star 69s her because the past. And then later, Val's behind the bar at the club when Michael Trucco, hey, it's that guy from literally everything, maybe best known for Battlestar Galactica, where he was Starbucks' husband for a while, walks in and says he's looking for Noah. He is Noah's brother. Val says that Noah's never mentioned a brother, and this dude says it's because one of them is the black sheep, and they can never decide which, and Val is charmed. Yes, he was also on Charmed. They have just introduced themselves. I looked it up. It's true. His name here is Josh. When Noah comes in to be a bitch about it in clip 6.
He says he's your brother.
I don't have a brother.
Noah?
No, see, I did once. He's a little bit older than I was. Everything the guy did, I wanted to do. Everywhere the guy went, I wanted to go. I looked up to him,
and he wanted nothing to do with you.
So what happened?
As far as I'm concerned, he died.
Cool. End of episode.
So Josh has a car with the address where he's staying, but Noah, the fucking drama queen, won't take it. And Val, knowing nothing about this situation, tells Noah he can't let his brother walk away. And Noah's like, watch me. Meanwhile, Val has siblings that she never talks to ever, as far as we know, but fine. So at David's housewarming, Val finds Noah pouting on the front stoop and decides she knows how to cheer him up. Clip 7.
My father killed himself.
Great start. Just a super start.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So this is by way of telling him that her family is fucked up also. Noah says that he and Josh have different mothers. Noah's mother is their father's second wife, but before they got married, they had had an affair. Josh said that Noah wasn't a real hunter, which Noah claims he took as a compliment, even though he's in the middle of pouting about it. Val turns the conversation back to herself, saying she hated her father until the day he died, but the day after that, she wishes that she hadn't. Noah can't reach out to Josh, and Val says eventually he will wish that he had. Then Val comes back in to snipe at Donna about the call that morning, but neither of them seems like her heart is in it. And somewhere else in the house, Noah finds David. This is at the housewarming party, by the way. Noah finds David to ask if he should be worried about David and Donna, and David says no. Noah says he would like to believe that, and David says he's given Noah no reason not to, as if David didn't totally just make out with Donna in the last episode, but that doesn't come up.
Not now, but then later in the episode, she acts like she told him, which, why did you tell him off camera? But whatever, who cares? Moving on.
Seriously. The next day, Josh finds Noah at the club to tell him he's getting married to the daughter of some other captain of industry. He wants Noah to be his best man. Noah says he can't go back home or else he'll get absorbed into the family business, and tells Josh that Josh is not trapped either. But Josh doesn't think he can call it off and create a scandal because he's not like Noah. In fact, he is jealous of Noah's freedom. He's about to leave, but Noah invites him to stay and catch up. Josh would like that. No one cares. Over at Clinic. Sorry. CC is usually my abbreviation in my notes for Clinic. But here it's for Century City Plaza. There is no Clinic Plaza. Sorry.
Isn't there?
Alas, there is not. Over at Century City Plaza, historically one of my favorite malls in LA, David has finished helping Donna and her crazy boobs, which you can see in the visual aids, pick out a stereo for Noah. And he's put his own stupid CD in it. He offers to help her set it up, but she says she doesn't want to risk Noah walking in on them together, which is when it comes out that Donna didn't tell Noah that the two of them were going to be spending the day together. Apparently, David didn't tell Val either, because then he spots her coming at them and makes them hide behind a post so she didn't see them.
Which fails because his pants are too big. Somehow she doesn't notice and thinks an entire gap is peeking out from behind this post. It's a fucking show.
I mean, the sight and the noise, honestly, the flapping. In the car on the way back, David is stewing about what Val was shopping for, as if he didn't also hide his activities from her. And they eventually get around to agreeing that seeing each other on the sly is hurting their supposed partners, and maybe they should stay away from each other for a while. And as Donna is thoughtfully looking at David, a car darts out in front of her and she brakes, and they get rear-ended, and she is not okay. After commercial, Donna is declining the EMT's offer to take her to the ER. And he strongly advises her to get her back checked out, and she says if it doesn't get better, she'll call her dad, the cardiologist. Okay.
Who's busy putting sheets over the mirrors because his mom just died, but cool, bother him with this bullshit.
Seriously.
Idiot.
David shows up to say he did all the stuff that you do when you get in a car accident. He also called Val and left her a voicemail saying his whereabouts are a long story, but laughs that they're officially busted since David has missed the start of Cirque du Soleil, his date with Val.
I mean, that alone is grounds for giving David the boot. A romantic evening at Cirque du Soleil.
I mean, no. I've been to Cirque du Soleil shows. They are cool, but I go with, like, my parents. Like, it's not a prelude to anything.
No.
Speaking of, Val is then moping at the bar about being stood up when Josh finds her. She tells him she's glad that he and Noah are trying to work things out, and he's pretty sure that was her doing. And Noah rolls up, and he and Val commiserate about their missing dates. Val hints that she thinks they're together, and Noah tells her that Donna's in her office working on a project. And right on cue, Donna and David walk in, Donna looking extremely guilty. Clip 8.
Val, hey, look, I'm really sorry.
So am I. We can explain.
So that means you two were together.
Yeah, we weren't in an accident.
Oh, how convenient. Believe it or not, David was helping me find your Valentine's Day present.
I don't know what to believe.
I do, and it's not bad.
You're making a bigger deal out of this than it is.
Well, that's your excuse for everything lately, isn't it? It hurt my back, by the way. Thanks for asking.
I mean, fair. Like, I get that your pride is wounded, but, like, people were in a car accident. Just because they're walking doesn't mean they're okay. Don't be a dick.
Seriously.
Donna is still in pain and wincing at her table later when Noah rolls up drunk. She says her dad called in a prescription for her, so she's going to go pick it up. And Noah's like, you sure you don't mean you and David? Donna says she shouldn't have lied to him, but that nothing happened. And then he throws her dying grandma's meant to be talk back in her face. And under duress, she admits that she and David did kiss, but that it didn't mean anything. I guess maybe telling him now because he's drunk and she's hoping he won't remember.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot that happened. And not a bad strategy.
Yeah. Later at the bar, Noah is drunker, leaving Val to catch Josh up on the whole love quadrangle situation. Josh says that if David doesn't appreciate Val, she should forget him. True. Mm-hmm. Then he tops up her wine and they toast, but then he knocks her purse off the bar. And when she bends down to get it, he drops a pill in her glass. And when we see them again, Val is practically nodding out at the bar, and Noah is super duper drunk when he shows back up. And Josh, the only sober one, tells Noah to go lie down. Val says that sounds good since she's not feeling great either. And Noah starts babbling about Donna and David being together somewhere. And then Josh's phone rings. It's his fiance calling from Paris. Clip 9.
Hello, Miss Susie Paris is on the phone. Let's give him some time.
Mm-hmm.
Sweetie.
Yeah.
Okay. See you later.
I mean, that's some not bad drunk acting, especially for this show.
Yeah, true.
not that Vincent Young hasn't had plenty of opportunities to perfect it, because I feel like every few weeks they just get him schmammed because he's in a huff about something.
Yeah.
But we have not seen this from Val, and it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny now. It's going to be not funny very soon, unless. Josh's distraction lets Noah bring Val upstairs to the office, and they both flop onto the couch. And when Noah starts kissing her, she seems like she comes out of the fog enough to know that this is not good. But we cut to her the commercial on her disconcerted face. And in the morning, Noah throws Val's dress at her and says this never happened. And Val looks confused and freaked out as Noah starts threatening her. Cool dude alert. She still feels sick. And when he surmises that she drank too much, she says she only had one. And he's like, sucks to be you. I have to go find Donna. And in the hall, Noah runs into David looking for Val. Noah says she got drunk and crashed there. And he aggressively asks whether David knows where Donna is. David says he dropped her at home the night before. So David goes into the office as Val, looking, again, as convincingly drunk as she was, she looks convincingly rough. Like, she is doing SVU victim caliber acting in this scene, I felt.
Yes, I agree. She was styled well, too. Like, she totally had that, like, cracked lips mm-hmm. thing where you're completely dehydrated. But she's also just, like, it's good acting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because this show should not try to step to issues of this sort. So,
oh, no.
I mean, at least her and not one of the other bozos in the cast.
True. So she's effortfully trying to put her dress back on, and David starts to apologize for having been with Donna the night before, and then sees how much she's struggling and asks how much she had to drink before seeing that there's something really wrong with her other than a hangover since she is ice cold. And she says she's going to be sick, and he helps her toward the bathroom. And when we see them next, David has brought Val to a doctor. Val thinks she might have food poisoning, but the doctor thinks that she was roofied and wants to do a rape kit. So Noah makes it back to the boat to find Donna waiting for him. They both feel bad about the various things they did, not that he confesses about sleeping with someone else, which at this point is all he thinks it is. And when she says the kiss with David was a kiss goodbye and that she was hoping to put it behind them, Noah says he would like that. And as they're hugging, Josh comes back from a run and asks about Donna's back. She says she took two pills, but it still hurts. She seems like she's wearing heels, by the way, in this scene. So, like, I'm not a doctor, but that might be part of it.
Yeah.
Put on some also runners, idiot.
And yeah, get a bra that supports you. That can't be hurt. That can't be helping your back either. Oh,
God, seriously.
Flopsy.
Yeah. She wants to go sailing. And when she's gone to the can or whatever, Josh checks in Clipton.
Last time I saw you, you and Valerie were a little...
messed up. I know.
Yeah. So what happened?
Look, I made the biggest mistake of my life, okay? She finds out about it, I don't know
she
what...
She won't. Not for me.
You killed your fiancé after drinking a beer and getting behind the wheel, so if this is the biggest mistake of your life, let's review.
Honestly... God. So in the bathroom, Donna stares at the dosage and warnings on her oxycodone prescription bottle and takes two more against the explicit instructions. Dun, dun, dun.
It took less than 24 hours for this to go there. So cool.
Yeah.
Junkie Donna. Good times.
Uh-huh. And
won't
when
be
she
the
comes-
last time either.
Oh, God, really? Oh, no.
So, yeah.
So when she comes back out, Josh says he's going to take off, but not before the drama of our final clip.
You're dead, man.
Back off, man.
David, what are you doing?
Why don't you ask your boyfriend?
Don't do this right now, Val.
Is that what I said to you last night? Is it?
What are you talking about?
Is that what I said to you before you raped me?
Music. Oh my God. As they all just take turns staring at each other, like I cut some of it, believe it or not. It's what is with that Melrose Place ass score? My God.
And with bongos. Like, is this really the time for bongos? I'd posit that it is not.
I am so dreading how much worse that plot line is going to get, but it starts out pretty badly. I mean, well acted by Tiffany Thiessen, but yeesh.
Yeah. There's also, we didn't have a clip from it, but when she is at the doctor's office, there's a fairly lengthy PSA about Rohypnol, sometimes called roofies, mm-hmm. which I respect that they did that, but like this shit is 20 years old and it's still going on.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff. So, oof. I mean,
I mean, again, Veronica Mars was like, what, 10 years later? Maybe less.
Yeah, not quite, but yeah.
Oof. Well, on that cheery note, let us name the episode's MVP. Mrs. Hazleton, she's out there hustling for Sarah.
Who among us, etc. Okay, despite some drunken shenanigans, he didn't. Well, no, I can't really do Noah, can I?
You can't.
Not anymore. It was such
I mean, as much as we
memory.
All enjoyed him turning off the radio, then a bunch of other stuff happened.
Well, and it's, yeah, not clear to me that he even thought he had consent, much less bothered trying to get it. So,
yeah.
But I mean, who does that leave? Nikki
Zierman? Dr. Jeff gets to leave.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Dr. Jeff, enjoy the streets of San Francisco.
Least valuable player. I mean, it's kind of a tie between the Hunter brothers, one of whom was witting and one who wasn't, but was still a creep.
Yeah. Let's just say the Hunter family. Then it's there a singular go. And there we go.
Fair enough. We have a user submitted challenge.
I scored some amazing stones.
At the Crazed Spruce on Twitter asks us to list 5 ways from this episode that Brandon could have been cleanly and completely written out of the show. I mean, this really could have been a turning point. He said he was going to be over Kelly. Maybe he was so over her he left, if only.
They could have just chopped him out of the episode or like scrolled him out Poochie style and run the actual thing from Swingers, which would have been hilarious.
Oh my God, I wish. They could have had him had an improbable job offer from San Francisco and had him abandon the beat and leave us that way.
True. They could have had him take a call from Little Miss Susie Paris and then fall into a manhole, never to be seen again.
Maybe he forgot about a mood setting candle when he was getting all spruced up for his, no pun intended, for his date. And he burned down Casa Walsh with himself in it. Too bad. So sad. That makes 5.
Sure does. Next time on Again With This, Valerie's accusations divide the gang. Josh enables Donna. Jasper steps to David. And believe it or not, this shit pile of a show tries to take on police brutality.
I know.
Our visual aids should get us arrested. You can find those for this and every other episode of Again With This on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previouslytv. And you can follow this very podcast at AWT90210. I am Suds Coated half-sibling Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is answering machine abuser Tara Ariano, and she is on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Valentine Don't, David T. Cole. He's on Twitter at Glark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
Hey, it's me. I just thought, you know, you're going out tonight, I'm going out tonight. It's too bad. Never mind.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.